word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the Back to the Bible radio program. This is Brent Arnold, the preacher for the Greenfield Church of Christ in Greenfield, Tennessee. And I'm delighted to have the opportunity to study God's Word with you this morning. Now, let us open God's Word together as we go back to the Bible. Sin. I can't imagine a word that I hate more than the word sin. I hate sin because sin has brought about this world of sickness, heartache, guilt, and shame. These are things that God never intended for our lives. They were introduced into our world because of sin. Because of sin, hell is a reality. Friends, hell is not a place that has been imagined. It's not a thing of fairy tales. It is a real place. And as such, it is a place that should cause legitimate fear and dread. But without sin, there would be no need for a place such as hell. But thankfully for us, God has an answer for sin. And God's answer for sin can be found only in one person. That man who was placed on that cross between those two thieves on Golgotha's hill, Jesus Christ. He died that we might be free from that awful, awful thing called sin. And yet, many will die in sin and will be lost in spite of all that Jesus has already done. Why? Why will those for whom Jesus died not receive the blessing that he intended? Why will they be punished for their sin and receive the hell that the Bible warns about? The answer is because even in light of what Jesus has done for them, they will refuse to repent of their sin. It may be that the greatest obstacle to the salvation of men is the stubbornness of the human will. We refuse to repent of our sin. And because of that, many will be lost. To illustrate this principle, even as I speak, there are some people who are in torment at this very moment. These are people who heard Jesus preach with their own ears, and they witnessed his marvelous miracles with their own eyes. They saw what he did, they heard what he said, but they turned away from him without making any changes. They refused to repent. And because of that, they are being punished right now. Matthew 11, verses 20 through 24, says, "Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable in the day for the land of Sodom than for thee." They heard what they needed to hear, but they didn't change. Will we allow the same to be said for us? I heard someone say the other day that if America doesn't make some changes, and if God doesn't punish her for those sins that she is committing, even at this time, that God will have to apologize for Sodom and Gomorrah and what he did there. Something to think about. There is a need for repentance today. We have heard and seen what God would have us to hear and see. But will we repent? Let's talk about repentance today. Let's talk about what it means. And let's talk about what should motivate us to repent of our sin. First of all, let's talk about the meaning of repentance. And in order to do that, I want to talk about what repentance is not and what repentance is. Let's first talk about what repentance is not. First of all, repentance is not simply admitting that you were wrong. There are plenty of examples of folks who did that but did not make things right with God. For example, King Saul was told by God through the prophet Samuel that when he went into battle against the Amalekites, he was not to spare anyone or anything. God was executing a just punishment against that city, and they were to destroy everything. But when Saul went against that city, he didn't do what God said. He kept the very best for himself and for the people. And Samuel rebuked Saul and warned him that because of that, God would strip the kingdom away from him. Now, Saul admitted that he was wrong in doing that. In 1 Samuel 15:24, Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord. But the sad thing is that even though he admitted that he was wrong, he never changed. He continued to go on doing whatever he wanted to do throughout the remainder of his kingdom. I'm not saying that it's not important for us to admit when we've done wrong. We should confess our sin. Like David, we should say, I acknowledge my confessions and my sin, or my transgressions rather, and my sin is ever before me, Psalm 51:3. We should admit when we're wrong, but that in and of itself is not repentance, and that in and of itself will not make things right with God. Secondly, repentance is not a feeling of remorse. For example, Judas regretted it when he betrayed Jesus. He took the money back to the temple that he'd been paid to betray Jesus. In Matthew 27:3, the Bible says that Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. Now, he repented in the sense that he had regret for what he had done, but he didn't make a change, did he? Because the Bible says, and instead of making things right with Christ, he went out and he committed suicide. It's important when we've done something wrong to be sorry for what we've done. But what kind of sorrow is it? Some people are sorry that they got caught, or they're sorry that they lost their family. They're maybe sorry that they lost their job, or in some other way are suffering because of their sin. But worldly sorrow will not lead to repentance. It won't lead to a positive change. Instead, what we ought to have is godly sorrow. According to 2 Corinthians 7:10, it will produce repentance. But godly sorrow is not sorrow about how my sin affects me. Godly sorrow is sorrow about how my sin affects God. Because you see, sin breaks God's heart. It disappoints him. It hurts him. And we should have sorrow when we have broken the heart of God. As David said in Psalm 32:3-4, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. Day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, and my moisture is turned into the drought of summer. It is important to be sorry for what you've done, But that in and of itself will not make things right with God, as we see in Judas's case. Also, we should notice that repentance is not good intentions. There may be a lot of people, maybe someone even who is listening today. Maybe there are things in your life that you know God would have you to change. And you keep telling yourself that you want to change those things, that you're going to change those things at some point, but you don't. And day after day, you just continue along the same path that you know is wrong. We've all been there at some point or another. I'm not saying that I'm perfect, and I don't want you to think that for one second. But I do want us all to understand that it is not good intentions that produce repentance. John the Baptist demanded more. He demanded that his listeners bring forth fruits worthy of repentance, that they make changes in their lifestyle, to stop doing what God does not want them to do, and to start doing what God does want them to do. Matthew 3:8, John said, "Bring forth fruits meet for repentance." So then, while all of these things are important and have their place, they are not in and of themselves repentance. What is repentance then? Well, repentance is, by definition, a change of mind. You change your mind. You change your mind about the nature, the power, the ugliness, and the insanity of sin. You must begin to see sin differently than you were seeing it before. Repentance must happen from the inside out. In sin, we're living for ourselves. We have to change that. We have to live for God. In sin, we are living only for the flesh, to do what feels good right now. We have to change that. And we have to start living for what is good for the soul, not what is good for the flesh. Sin is about living only for this earth and this world. Sin thrives in the mindset of trying to make all of the money you can make, have all of the pleasure you can have all of the fun you can have. Live it up while you're on this earth. Sin lives in that mindset, and it has to change. You have to start living for heaven. And you make choices that might cause you to have to suffer here on this earth, but they will bring heavenly rewards. That's what repentance is. Repentance is changing the mind from self to God, from sin to righteousness, from earth to heaven, from flesh to spirit. It's a change. Everything happens in the heart of man. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For out of the heart of man come forth the issues of life." If we're going to be what God wants us to be, and if we're going to make things right with God, we have to change from the inside out. Now, when we make that kind of change, it's going to change everything. When you've made your heart right with God, and you've put Him in charge of every part of your thinking, it's going to change the way you talk. Because now, you're not going to say what feels good in the moment. You're going to say what God wants you to say. You're going to say what is pleasing in His sight. And you're not going to lust after those things, even though those lusts may be pleasurable. You're more concerned about your soul, and so you're going to desire the things that are good for the soul. Your actions, your priorities are going to change. Your friendships are going to change. Because now the most important thing is to please God. That's not easy. I'm not saying it is. But I'm saying that's the only thing in this life worthwhile. It's the only thing in this life worth doing. It's to do whatever it takes to repent of our sin and make things right with God. I heard about a Bible class teacher who asked her class what repentance meant. One little boy said it means being sorry for your sins. But one little girl spoke up and corrected him. She said, no, it means being sorry enough to quit. And I think she had it right. Repentance means to change your mind. And it's a change of mind that's going to lead to a change in our choices. But let's also talk about the motivation for repentance. What will not and what will motivate repentance? First, let's talk about some attitudes towards sin that will ruin our motivation for repentance. For example, some simply try to deny the reality of sin. Some don't believe in the Bible, so because of that, they don't really believe there is such a thing as right or wrong. But even among those who believe in the Bible, they kind of taken an attitude toward the Bible that, you know, everyone just kind of has their own interpretation of the Bible. And just whatever one thinks goes. It doesn't matter. You know, however you see the Bible is fine. However I see the Bible is fine. Friends, I mean this with all the sincerity in my heart, but I just don't find that that's what the Bible teaches. If that were the case, there really would be no such thing as sin. I look at this question that we have today in our world regarding homosexuality. I don't see how anyone can misunderstand what the Bible says about this subject. God created us to be man and woman. You see that with Adam and Eve. That's nature at its ideal. God punished the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah for sodomy, homosexuality, Genesis 19. Under the law of Moses, there was a punishment of death for committing the sin of homosexuality, Exodus chapter 32. Even in the New Testament, Romans chapter 1 and 1 Corinthians 6 both condemn the sin of homosexuality and make it abundantly clear that those who commit such sins and refuse to repent of them and seek God's forgiveness will be held guilty for them and thus will not have a place in His kingdom. And yet, there are so many, even those who profess to be Bible believers today, who are tolerant of this sin. Why? Why? Well, I think their mindset is, well, they just see the Bible differently than we do. Friends, we need to be concerned about whether or not we see the Bible differently than God does. Because we're not going to be judged by what we think when the day of judgment comes. We're going to be judged by what God has said. And what God has said is plain. Sin should not be treated as though it is trivial, harmless, as though there's no such thing as right or wrong. It's only how people, different people see it. The Bible makes it clear. Sin is real, and we will be judged. 2 Timothy 4:1 says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Proverbs 6:18 speaks of those whose feet are swift in running to mischief. Instead of running away from sin, they run to it as quickly as we can. I'm concerned, folks. I have 3 children, and I'll tell you. I'm glad to know that God is still on His throne and that God is in perfect control. I believe that with all of my heart. There are things happening in this world that concern me. We are developing a society that not only is guilty of sin, but is proud of its sin. Young people, college students, not all of them, but many of them, flock to Florida, flock to vacation spots on spring break or on summer break to see how much alcohol they can consume, to see how many drugs they can take, to see how many different people they can have sex with. They're proud of it. They brag about how much they can sin and how much they can do wrong. There are many in this world with a hedonistic mindset that lives only for pleasure. God will bring these souls to answer for their actions someday. But as long as they treat it as though there's no such thing as right or wrong, or as though sin is not as serious a matter as some may think, they will not be motivated to repent. Others attempt to justify or excuse their sin. They simply excuse their sin on the basis of, well, it's just human weakness. We're all human. We're all going to sin. I'm not going to try to do better. I'm not going to try to change what I'm doing. I've just accepted it because I'm human and I'm just weak. Well, the truth is, we are human and we are going to make mistakes. But when I look at how God gave up His best for me, I want to give Him my best in return. And in light of that, I just simply can't accept sin in my life just because I'm human. Others blame their sin on how they were raised, the environment in which they were born, or the people that have influenced them in their lives. And instead of making changes that they are able to make, they become content to just live with their sin. It reminds me about a little girl. She saw a pearl necklace that she wanted desperately. And her mother noticed that it cost about $2, so she told her no, she couldn't have it. But she could see how badly she wanted it. And she told her that she could purchase the necklace with the money from her piggy bank. So she was excited. She didn't have enough to cover the cost, but she did a few extra chores, and grandmother gave her an extra dollar for her birthday, so it wasn't long till she had the money. When she bought it, she wore it everywhere. She never took it off, except to shower and swim. One night, her dad came in to read her a bedtime story. That was their normal routine. And when he had finished, and after they had prayed together, he surprised her when he asked, "Can I have your pearl necklace?" She was stunned, of course. "No, Daddy, not my necklace. It's my favorite." Okay, he didn't put up much of a fight. The next night he went in again and asked her the same thing. She said, "Daddy, you can have my baby doll, or you can have my stuffed animals, but not my pearl necklace. I love it the most." And he continued this night after night. After several nights went by, he came in to find her sitting on the edge of the bed with tears running down her face. "What's wrong, honey?" he asked her. She held out her hand. She had those pearls in her hand. And she said, "Here, Daddy, if you really want this, you can have them." He took those pearls. He hugged her. He kissed her. He told her how much he loved her. And then he reached into his pocket and he pulled out a velvet case. He opened it, and inside was a set of genuine pearls. He said, "I was waiting for you to give me the dime store necklace so that I could give you a real set of pearls." I wonder, how many times has God had His hand in His pocket, ready to give us something more wonderful than we could even imagine, but He was limited because we wouldn't give up something that's cheap. We wouldn't give up some sin. We wouldn't repent of something that we needed to repent of. What will motivate repentance? I'll tell you. When you get a good, clear picture of God in your heart, it will motivate you to repent like nothing else. Now, I'm talking about a full picture. I'm not talking about looking at only the things about God that you like. I'm talking about seeing the whole picture of God. For example, in Romans 11:22, the Bible says, "Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God." Now, both of these, both the goodness and the severity of God, are things that we need to see. Things that will motivate us to repentance. When it comes to the goodness of God, we reflect on how much we are loved by God, how many good things He has placed in our lives. Ultimately, we think about the fact that He has given us His Son, and it motivates us to give Him our best. Romans 2:4 says, "Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness, and forbearance, and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" The goodness of God leadeth you to repentance. But then also there's the severity of God, the wrath of God, the fact that He will punish those who have not repented of their sin. And we too need to see that and realize this aspect of God. "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11 says, we need a respect of God's wrath, that He will punish those who are not forgiven of their sins. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hebrews 10:31 says, Hebrews 12:21 says that God is a consuming fire. I have found that most of us know that, but when we sin, we just don't want to allow our minds to go there. Our mind may be trying to think about hell, but we just shirk it off. We just kind of shake it off and move on to something else. We want to think about something else. We don't want to think about that. What happens is that we blow away what would be motivating us to repent. The same is true with the love of God. When you're dealing with sin, if you can take yourself in your mind to the foot of the cross and see how much God loves you, there is a power there to drive away and break any sin. But we don't like to go there. We like to push it away. We can't allow ourselves to push it away. We've got to take it in. We've got to see all of the goodness of the glory of God. And there, and only there, will we find the motivation to repent. Friend, is there something in your life of which you need to repent, that needs to be made right with God? We're urging you to make that change today, and change from the inside out. And if there's any way that we can help you, we urge you, please, contact us today.
Unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Again, this has been Brent Arnold from the Greenfield Church of Christ. Thank you for tuning in today. We hope and pray that this lesson has been a blessing to you, and we hope that you'll tune in again next week to this same station at this same time. Please come and visit us as soon as you can. We're located on Highway 45 in Greenfield, Tennessee. We meet on Sundays at 10, 10:45 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can contact us either by calling us at 731-235-2341 or by emailing us at greenfieldchurchofchrist@yahoo.com. We'll be looking forward to our next opportunity to go back to the Bible. Till then, have a great day.
To my feet and alive.